Good morning. Let's pray before we begin. Lord, we thank you for this morning. We thank you that we can come and come to your word, Lord. I pray that as we read your word, Father, as you speak through me, God, that we come into a deeper revelation of your word, Lord. May you reveal things to us that we haven't previously seen. You spark some words to come off the page and really speak to us, Lord, to really bring transformation into our lives that only you can, Father. We thank you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's open up to 2 Corinthians. I'm going to read from chapter 2, verse 14, until the end of chapter 3. So that's chapter 2, verse 14, to chapter 3, verse 18. But thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ, manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. For we are fragrance of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one an aroma from death to death, to the other an aroma from life to life. And who is adequate for these things? For we are not like many, peddling the word of God, but as from God we speak in Christ in the sight of God. Are we beginning to commend ourselves again? Or do we need, as some, letters of commendation to you or from you? You are our letter, written in our hearts, known and read by all men, being manifested that you are a letter of Christ, cared for by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on the tablets of human hearts. Such confidence we have through Christ toward God. Not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God, who also made us adequate as servants of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. But if the ministry of death in letters engraved on stones came with glory, so that the sons of Israel could not look intently at the face of Moses because of the glory off his face, fading as it was, how will the ministry of the Spirit fail to be even more with glory? For if the ministry of condemnation has glory, much more does the ministry of righteousness abound in glory. For indeed, what had glory in this case has no glory because of the glory that surpasses it. For if that which fades away was with glory, much more that which remains is in glory. Therefore, having such a hope, we use great boldness in our speech, and are not like Moses, who used to put a veil over his face so that the sons of Israel would not look intently at the end of what was fading away. But their minds were hardened, for until this very day at the reading of the Old Covenant, the same veil remains unlifted because it is removed in Christ. But to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. But whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is a Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. Amen. Okay. So, last week, we read chapter 2, verse 12. And so Paul starts detailing his journey, part of his missionary journey. Or he's telling the Corinthians, this is what I've been doing. And here he takes a tangent. And this is a very long tangent. He doesn't actually get back to detailing his journey until chapter 7, verse 5 or so. So this whole big tangent, and he touches a number of topics. And in this passage, the primary thing that he's dealing with is actually the issue of authority. Because there's a lot of people that are charging him, he's answering a lot of his critics. And you see this issue come up in chapter 2, verse 17. Or you see the beginning of it. He goes, for we are not like many, peddling the word of God. So the charge against Paul is people are saying, you're just coming and doing this because you want to exploit people's money. You're just like all those other preachers that travel from place to place, taking advantage of weak-minded people, people who are gullible, and who are willing to pay to hear something, some sort of wisdom, some sort of new teaching and philosophy that will make their lives somehow better or feel better. And in reality, there is no truth to what you're preaching. You're just doing this because you've sold out. And that's why he says, we are not like many, peddling the word of God, but as from God, we speak Christ in the sight of God. And so you got to, one of the things you got to think is like, why would people think this of Paul? And it's not that they didn't have a legitimate concern, because this was a very common practice back in the days where you have all these teachers. I mean, he had all these, he's going to Corinth is in Greece, and this is the birthplace of modern philosophical thought. Like for us as a Western society, we are based on, you know, for not for a lack of a better word, but we are based on Greek philosophical thought from that time. A lot of that thinking has now, it is the foundation of how we operate, how we think. And so back then you had all these people going around from city to city and teaching all these philosophies. And one of the concerns, the legitimate concern of the people, was that there's all these teachers. Like, how do you know which one is real? How do you know which one is just saying something that is very popular or basically plagiarizing what they have heard and passing it off as their own ideas, but not really believing in it? But because it's garnered so much attention, like, oh, maybe I can make some money off of it. It's kind of like the, I don't know, the Fan Ban version. Like, if you go to China, you get, like, all these, like, there's a yu-yu stroller instead of the yo-yo stroller for all those parents with kids. Anyways, so you have all these preachers going about and just exploiting people for their money. And so people would actually ask for letters of commendation, like references. Who have you actually spoken to? Where? Show me your resume that actually proves that you're a legit preacher. How about, you know, if you've gone to the city, you know, you're coming to Corinth now, how about from the city of Athens? Who do you know in Athens? Who can actually support your case and actually recommend you? And so people would carry these letters, or preachers or teachers would carry these letters with them, showing that these are the people that I've talked to. You can, and they could be well-known people, we don't know, they didn't have the internet back then, but they would carry these letters saying that this person is authentic. The message that they're preaching is authentic, and they're not just repeating something that they have said. And so probably what was happening in the Corinthian church was that there were certain people infiltrating the church and carrying letters with them and saying, you guys were established by Paul, but where's his letter? Did you check his credentials before he came? Look, I have all these credentials, and I think what he's teaching you is false. Or I think what he's teaching you is wrong. He's not even here. He doesn't care about you guys, and blah, 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 blah. You know, and all the issues that we've gone through so far. And so Paul is now addressing these issues, because certainly these intruders would have, or news of these intruders into the Corinthian church would have reached him. And he's saying, okay, let me address these people that are saying, I do not have any letters. And you're right. I don't have any physical letter, but I do have letters. His response, it goes, I have letters. You are our letter. I don't have a physical one, but you guys are my letter. You guys are my letter of commendation. In verse 2, he writes, you are a letter written in our hearts, known and read by all men. The Greek for known is genosko, which is knowledge. Again, but it's not this knowledge where it's an intellectual thing, but it's a knowledge where you achieve or you acquire through experience. So it's experiential knowledge. And the word read is not just plainly I read, but again, or not again, the Greek is anagenosko. So you have this root word genosko, to know. So it's not just me reading. The word anagenosko more has a implication, or the definition of it means to distinguish between, to recognize, to know accurately. So the what this word really implies is that not only do you read, but you know. Like, I can read this person like the back of my hand, or I know this person in and out. So I know who this person is. So, you know, like I can read this person like a book. Now, there's some people that can just, these like personality people or like psychologists that can like look at people and like, I know exactly what kind of person you are. Or people that have done marriage counseling for so long and they look at a marriage and like, I can know exactly what kind of marriage you guys have. That's what it means to read in this case. And so Paul is saying, you are a letter written in our hearts, known and read by all men. You guys know exactly what my commendation is, like what message that I'm preaching, because you guys are a letter. And it's not that you guys are just sitting here and like, oh, we are. And like, you guys have seen just how legit and authentic my message is. You guys have seen the power. You guys have experienced the Holy Spirit. I mean, Paul spends so much time talking about Holy Spirit and spiritual gifts in First Corinthians. So the people in Corinth know, and he's reminding them, you guys know. Really, like, what need do I have of letters? Why do I need to show you guys letters? You guys know the proof is in the pudding. I really like that saying. And I've been waiting for time to use that, and such a time as this. Anyways, his point is like, you guys can see the transformation that has happened in your life. I don't need any letter to show you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11, he goes, some were such of you. He's saying like, you know, people, do you not know that evildoers and people who are sexually immoral, fornicators, revilers, these kinds of people will not inherit the kingdom of God. And he goes, some were such of you, but you have changed. You've been washed, you've been sanctified. And he's saying, you guys were like this. You know the transformation that has happened in your own life. So why do you need to see a letter from me to show that I'm legit? Because this is the proof. Look at your own lives. You have been changed by the power of Christ. And so you look at chapter 2, verse 16, and chapter 3, verse 5. He uses this word adequate. Verse 16, who is adequate for these things? And chapter 3, verse 5, not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God. So his point is that no man is going to be adequate enough to affect any transformation. It is really the mercy of God. And Paul makes this point actually later on, chapter 4, verse 1. Since we have this ministry, right, since we are preaching this word, as we have received mercy. See, when Paul is really emphasizing that when you're seeking out letters of commendation, or when the Corinthian church is trying to find all these letters and, you know, like, show me what's on your CV, the implication is that they are looking to man in order to bring transformation in their lives. Because the letters of commendation point to what, I mean, I came in with like 5 letters of commendation, or in our case, say, you know, you don't know me as Andrew now, but I came in as like this, I don't know, a different, I mean, just say you don't know anything about me. And I came in, I said, you know, I planted 5 churches and each church has 1,000 people. So I can change your life because I've done it. And it's not to say it's a bad thing, right? Because numbers are an indication of the work of the Holy Spirit. But what they're doing is purely basing it on numbers. I mean, in this case, they're saying, I am only going to look at the letters of commendation in order for you to prove yourself. And then what Paul is saying, if we're going to do that, that means we're just looking to the man. We're looking to our own efforts in changing people as opposed to looking to what the Holy Spirit can do. And so to make this point clear, Paul moves into this contrast between old covenant and new covenant. And you can actually really see this come through. He goes, you are a letter of, this is verse 3 in chapter 3, you are a letter of Christ, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. So he's comparing these letters of recommendation, physical letters from man, as tablets of stone, which for us should draw out this image of the Old Covenant, the Ten Commandments that God gave to the Israelites on tablets of stone. He compares the Old Covenant to the New Covenant. You are a letter written not by ink, but the Spirit of the living God, which is tablets of human hearts. And so he plays this through from verses 7 until the end of chapter 3 and verse 18. Now, I want to make this very clear, and Paul makes this clear as well. In no way is he saying that the law is bad, despite him calling it the ministry of death and the ministry of condemnation. And actually that is true, because the law does judge people. The law does bring death. If you transgress the law, there is a law that says what happens when you transgress the law. But at the same time, he goes, he really makes a point that the law is beautiful. In verse 9, He goes, for if the ministry of condemnation has glory, he consistently emphasizes this, the old covenant, it has glory. It's not without glory. But in comparison to this new covenant, in comparison to the work of the Holy Spirit, these letters of commendation, this old covenant, does not hold a candle. It's not that the glory of the old covenant, it does fade away. But how do I put this? It's like if you have a candle, right? A candle in a very dark room is very bright. If you hold that candle up to the sun, do you see the candle? No, you only see the sun. And so that's his point here. The new covenant is so much glorious and so much bigger and so much brighter. And not only is it so much brighter, but it's increasing in its glory and its brightness and its hope, that the old covenant does not stand a chance. And and then he gets into how the old covenant, despite it being glorious, it eventually fades away. And he actually alludes to, or not alludes to, but he references Exodus 34, where Moses, when he's speaking to the Israelites, after Moses would go into the presence of God, and he would come out, and his face would be bright and shining, because this is the glory of God reflecting off Moses' face. And so he would speak to the Israelites, and then when he was finished speaking, he would put a veil over his face. And it wasn't that he would put a veil over his face so that the Israelites wouldn't see the glory. It's very clear that Israelites saw his face shining, but then he would put a veil over his face so that they would not see the glory fade away. And so Paul is making the point here that the old covenant, all these things, all these letters, these things fade away. It doesn't make a difference. What really matters is the new covenant, this glory that does not fade away. It is by this new covenant. This is why Paul has so much confidence. Because it's not what I do, but it's the Holy Spirit that affects transformation. That's why I'm so confident saying, you guys are a letter. I don't need to carry any letters, because just look at yourselves. This is not me, but this is the work that the Holy Spirit is doing in your life. This is the transformation that is being brought by the gospel. So, what is the application for us? For me, I feel like whenever I preach, I always feel like I need to bring some form of letter of commendation, whether it's by other people, you know, if you ever watch a comedy special, or if you ever go to a comedy show live, you have these people that like hype up the main act. Right. Sometimes I feel like I need like a hype man before. Like, oh, this is Pastor Andrew, he's gonna give such a good word, and da 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 da. Sometimes I feel like that would really help me. I'm like, oh my gosh, I feel validated. Or I come in and I try to show everyone how much research I've done, right? That I've gone into the Greek and I've looked at the Greek word and the Greek terms to actually pull out deeper meaning than what we just see in the English. I'm trying to present, you know, my brain power or the amount of work that I put into it in order for you guys to accept the message, right? And so that's a manifestation. And I was reflecting on that, especially in light of what P. Sam shared this past Sunday about us understanding the Word of God is due to the mercy of God. And I was thinking about that. I'm like, you know, us trying to present them letters of commendation or showing you know, our credentials, that's really putting aside the mercy of God and not relying purely on the mercy of God. And so that's more so operating not according to our strengths, but more so playing defense, like being on the defensive as opposed to being on the offensive. Like, let me show you, you know, let me defend why I deserve this position to preach. Or let me defend why, you know, I'm in this position to speak to you. As opposed to, all right, Holy Spirit, you've given me a word, and I'm just going to deliver it. And, you know, it's really not me. See, our strength as Christians is to rely on the whole power of the Holy Spirit for transformation. In verse 18, Paul writes, "But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory." It's not because of anyone's work, but they're looking just at God. That is what transforms them. Not by any rhetoric, not by any sweet speech. And so, two aspects of this application I would have today is, first, you know, as we, let's look inwardly. Are we looking to God as Paul instructs in chapter 3, verse 18? Are we beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord being transformed into the same image from glory to glory? You know, are we being transformed? Do we see the transformation of the Holy Spirit in our lives? I go back to the end of chapter 2. In your life, do you see yourself, and can you actually see evidence of you being a sweet aroma of the knowledge of Him in every place? Now, do the people around you, do they know you? And how is it that, like, in what way do they know you? Do they know you as, you know, just this person? Or you as a Christian, do they know you as this person that's been transformed by the Holy Spirit? So that's one, looking at us, or looking inwardly at ourselves. And two, looking outwardly, as much as we can give a good apologetic of the gospel, or defend it, or be able to, you know, explain Genesis and how this all fits in with, you know, the creation of the world and why, where do dinosaurs fit in, and, you know, as good as answers as we can get to explain that, are we relying just on pure knowledge? Are we relying on the research that we've done or the connections that we've made, or how we can deconstruct people's arguments and read into the questions to find out what the presuppositions are in order to, you know, break down or to really get at their heart? Like, are we relying on all that skill and knowledge, or are we relying on the power of the Holy Spirit? Because really, it's in that when we minister to people, it's not us, it's not our skill, it's not what we've done in the past, but really it's God that transforms people, that He uses us to speak truth into the life of people. Just further reflecting more on that, on PSAM's word about us relying on the mercy of God. You know, even when we pray for others, you know, it really isn't in, again, it's not in our skill in evangelizing. It's not in how well-versed we are at, I don't know, there's so many different messages of sharing the gospel. It's not how well we are at that. It's not like some presentation, right? Like, sure, practice it. It's good. It's good to have all these skills. It's good to, you know, be able to rely on your experience. But even in those specific instances, you know, are you relying, or let me put it this way. When you pray for these people that aren't saved, when you pray for people that you're ministering to, are you asking God to have mercy on them? Because, again, it's not us. It's not our speech. It's not how convincing we are. As convincing as we are, these people aren't really going to get it unless God displays a mercy on them. Unless God has mercy. And you see it in chapter 4, verse 1. Since we have this ministry, as we received mercy, it's incredible how Paul brings up the Jews. Right? Even though they had the law, their hearts are hardened, and the same veil remains unlifted. See, you notice here when Paul writes, he goes, the way that they're reading the old covenant, or the way that they're reading the law, the law doesn't change. Like, if the Jews read the law and the veil remains unlifted, but if you read the law correctly, God unlifts that veil for you to see into the law correctly. The law is still the same. Right? So it's incredible how God's mercy can really just help us see the exact same thing, but in a different way. Same, but different. I know. It's. But even the Jews, who were the chosen nation, could not see. Right, so again, it's not any of our skill, but really, it's really the mercy of God and using the mercy of God and the power of the Holy Spirit that changes us. So as Mon comes up to lead us in worship, just focus on those two aspects. The first one is, you know, do people see the transformation of God in us? Do people know? Can they see and really experience that transformation that we've experienced? Right? And two, when we minister to people, are we relying on our skill or are we just really praying, Lord, have mercy? Have mercy on them. So let's pray and worship and reflect.
Places. become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness.
Yes, Lord, give us more awareness of your presence, God. Holy Spirit, may we be sensitive to you, to your presence, to know when you are moving, and just for us to get out of the way and let you move. You just flow with the Holy Spirit, God, because it is you that brings transformation into people's lives. It is you that changes us, God. It is you in your mercy that allows us to see and understand, God. And so help us be more aware. Help us just partner with you, God, and not to fight it, Lord. So we thank you for your power. We thank you for what you have done in our lives. Let's pray for those in our community. Let's pray for those who have cancer and are undergoing chemo and radiation therapy and other surgeries. Let's also pray for those in our community who have friends and family who are suffering from various infirmities. Let's pray for healing over them. Let's also pray for just for God's mercy upon them, for them to hear, not only to hear, but to receive the word of Christ into their hearts. Let's lift up those in our community suffering from various infirmities. Let's pray for God's healing hand upon them, for a quick recovery, and just also for hope for as they recover and rehab from various illnesses and sicknesses. Let's lift up those looking for jobs in our community. Let's pray for God to guide and lead them and just give them wisdom and discernment as they look for opportunities. Pray for our different branches of SP. Let's pray for SP Singapore, SP Indonesia, SP Filipino, and SP New York. Really lift up SP Singapore. They're going to have their retreat this weekend. So let's pray for an amazing time spent with the Lord. Pray for our education department, SP Kids, youth group, and the college students. And just pray for God's mercy to come down upon them, from the youngest to the oldest, to even the teachers and the leaders that serve in these ministries. Let's also lift up our prayer and healing ministries, the IP, the Well and the River, led by Matt and Rachel. For the outreaches tonight, SP Lights and Homie Outreach. Let's pray for a powerful time of ministry as our members go up to the different areas in the city to minister. Also lift up the house churches for tonight, East Bay Olympic, Robin Hood, and Westville. Let's pray that we have a powerful time of meeting and discussing the sermon, just an incredible time of prayer and sharing with one another. And finally, let's pray for our city. Let's pray for Hong Kong. Let's just pray for reconciliation and healing. I know there's a lot of hurt parties, but let's just pray for God's covering and for his sovereignty to reign in this city. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you, God. We thank you for your sacrifice, God. And we also thank you, Lord, for lifting that veil from our eyes so that we can see, Lord, that we can look at your glory, God, and that we can be transformed, God. We thank you for the work that you're doing in our lives, Father. And I pray for each and every single one of us that you continue to transform us, Lord, in whatever position that we are in, God, and whatever, in every stage that we are in, God, may you continue to bring us from glory to glory, God, this glory that never diminishes but is ever increasing, Father. We ask that you just work in us, God. I pray for deep growth for each and every single one of us. So we thank you, Lord. We pray these things in your Son's most precious name. Amen. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time.